We are Alberta. We stand strong, we stand free. No matter who treads on us, right here is where we'll be. We are Alberta.
Welcome Brock Higginson and his wife Stephanie. Hi guys.
Hi Jody, thanks for having us.
Yeah, happy Friday. And hello to everybody out there. Hope you're having a great day, staying warm, not blowing away if you're in the southern part of the province.
Right, the wind coming in last night was something fierce. I was like, are we living in Lethbridge now? What's going on? But now, I was trying to think back before we got together to connect for this coffee, Brock, of when we first met each other. And we've talked about this a bit before we went live, and we can't remember. But I remember why.
Yes, I do, of course, there's for Canadian Country Weekend.
Yeah, you were one of the, were you like the main organizer? There was this huge, if you remember, if you're from Southern Alberta, for those of you watching, there was a huge country music weekend in Fort McLeod. And there were so many artists, and it was celebrating Canadian country music. And that's where Brock and I came to be friends. And that was such a fun weekend. Holy smokes.
Well, I had a great time. I don't know if Seth had a great time and keep me going, but I was one of the main organizers along with two other friends of mine. One was Jesse Sadlowski and the other was Kirk Baylor. We had a great time doing it, and to be honest, some of my best memories of ever hosting entertainment or activities like that. So I've done it several others, but the very first one, I gotta be honest, when you're doing it just with your friends and stuff like that, you never forget it. So
no, it was such a cool weekend, and I was always so appreciative that you invited me to be a part of that, and we had a lot of fun. It was good. Yeah. And just we've stayed connected, I think, thanks to the world of social media ever since, and have managed to kind of, we check in with each other from now and again. And it wasn't long ago, I mean, you'll give us the details here in a moment, where you had a fairly significant, probably awe-striking sort of scenario happen in your life. And I was watching one of your interviews with the local news from Lethbridge this week on your social media, and you basically had one day you were headed to do something, and then it all changed. Can you tell us a little bit about your story?
Yeah, a little bit. I was, I've always been a healthy person. My wife might argue that I don't eat the best at times, but always been healthy, been able to, you know, I could go run the 5K and be just fine and be sore the next day, of course, but never had any health issues of any kind. Evening before COVID, it's a little bit different. We're outside. I was outside with some friends, kind of having, what's everybody call them, driveway beers, if you're allowed, as people would have them. And that evening, really late that evening, I wasn't feeling well. And this was on June the 23rd. And so still during school time for me, I'm a school principal, elementary school principal here in the city of Lethbridge. And so I had texted one of my buddies that night just to see if I was kind of thinking maybe I had food poisoning or something. Maybe I'd put out something bad as a snack or something. So I was a little worried about that, and I didn't hear back from him. So I was guessing, well, he must be just fine. So it was getting close to 5 in the morning, at least I think. And so I said, to heck with it, I'm just going to get showered up and go into work. Usually that's not too off from what time I would usually do that. And then went up to the bathroom, to my kid's bathroom, to go shower. And that was it. I don't remember much else for about a day and a half. I had suffered a seizure. And then usually that's where I kind of default to this beautiful lady beside me about what actually happened during that next day and a half, because I was out cold.
I got a phone call. The kids and I were out with my mom at Wassa Lake. We have a cabin out there that Brock's been building over the last 8 years.
But we're not keeping track of time. Yeah.
They were painting, so we were getting close. So we started getting it done.
And I got a phone call from Brock's mom telling me to contact a friend of ours who's an emergency room doctor in Lethbridge. And she couldn't tell me why. And I was trying to put the pieces together. You know, is it Brock? Is it Al? That's his dad. And it turned out she couldn't tell me exactly what happened, but it was Brock. So when I called him, he said, Brock's here. He came in breathing but unconscious. We think he's had a seizure. Or he didn't say we think he's had a seizure. He said he wasn't sure if there was something in his brain, be it a blood clot or a stroke. They weren't 100% sure. I drove up to Calgary, and on my way, I was able to talk to the ICU doctor, and then he told me that Brock had a tumor in his brain, and then they had to airlift him to Foothills Hospital because Lethbridge couldn't manage his situation. Then when I arrived at Foothills Hospital, I got the opportunity to see a CT, and he had aspirated at the same time, so that means food went into his lungs, and they had to actually go in and take the food out, so he had pneumonia as well. And then they had to do an MRI first thing on the 27th while he was still intubated. And they discovered he actually had two tumors in his brain. He had a larger frontal tumor and then a smaller parietal tumor on the right side of his brain. Then they woke him up, and that's the first time we got a chance to chat in a day and a half. So it was pretty stressful for obvious reasons. But you know, at the beginning, they weren't sure when Brock had the seizure. Duncan, this is our good friend who's an emergency room doctor, said, you know, I don't know. The last contact everyone could figure out was 6 o'clock the night before. And he came in okay shape into the emergency room. But, you know, if Brock was alone and had had the seizure earlier, they might have not been able to save him. So we're very blessed and thankful that he picked a good time. And he has wonderful staff at his school that made sure that he didn't show up that day. And so they contacted me, but they couldn't get a hold of me because of lack of cell service. And then they contacted Brock's mom, and she made arrangements for his dad and a cousin to come over and check on him. And they saved his life. They came and they found him and called emergency services, and then they took over from there.
Yeah. So yeah, so that's
kind of that was our start.
That was the start of it.
And then you wake up and like, are you punking me? What? Like, that must be a surreal moment to wake up to that news.
I woke up in a beautiful ICU room, and a gentleman that spoke French was chatting with me, and he knew that I was a French immersion principal, and I think Steph
he was really, you know, when it's you do inappropriate humor, because
that's my life, yeah.
So I was doing a lot of inappropriate humor. And I said to him, I said, you know what would be funny? If you spoke French to him when you woke him up, you know, because Brock's a French immersion principal. So that would be funny. Brock responded in French the first time, but the second time he did, he wiggled his toes in French. So it was listening in French. So we thought it was kind
of
neat.
So that was the beginning of a journey of spending a lot. Yeah, the last 5 months and spending, well, I guess over a month worth of time accumulated at the Foothills Hospital. So. From there we went up to the neuro ward once they got me stable, and they really tried to get me stable with reducing the number of seizures I was having due to the pressure of the tumor in my brain, or the tumors in my brain. And that took about 10 or so days, and then eventually they we had lots of discussion about that, and we'd made the decision together as a couple that we were going to go forward with the suggestion of retraction, which meant that they were going to go in and take as much of the tumors out as they could.
They gave us three options. We met with two different neurosurgeons, and one suggested, you know, we could watch it. We could see, you know, it's a very slow growing tumor, which is great news for us, and watch it over the next 6 months and see if it grows. They could do a biopsy, or they could do a resection where they actually go and debulk and take out the tumor. And then we got another surgeon, and the other surgeon's like, you know what? I'm an aggressive man and I don't like it in there. I want it out. And Brock's like, me too. So they both agreed together just to get rid of it. And then when you obviously go through surgery and then get the biopsy, we found that he had an oligodendroglioma. So it's a rare type of brain cancer. It is the slowest growing type of cancer, brain tumor cancer that you can get. And we're very blessed. 60% of all brain tumors are gliomoblastomas, which have a prognosis of less than a year. And Brock's prognosis is longer than that. So, and you also get a prediction, and prediction means how well it responds to treatment. And Brock has some really neat genetic markers that make it more responding to treatment. So we've got a really positive outlook, and we know that we're in good hands with Tom Baker.
Yeah.
Unreal. Not one tumor. No, Brock, you got to go big and have two. Just that guy, right?
Yeah. Like for me, there's enough room for it to be up there. Then you can get rid of it.
Yeah. And I've been, during COVID, I've watched all 16 seasons of Grey's Anatomy. So I feel very much like I could be a part of your medical team now also.
Yeah.
You just know those things. But what I think is amazing, Brock, and you know, one of the reasons I wanted to share your story is because it's remarkable. And it reminds us that one day we're headed to the shower and the next day it could all change. Right? Like in the midst of all that's swirling around us in this world, things like that could happen without it knowing. But what I have really loved about your outlook on this and the fact that you have been so brave to share your journey on your social media is that you have a pretty exceptional outlook and attitude towards this. And you're helping so many people while you go through this. And I'm not sure if you understand the impact that that's making in our world.
Well, you know what? And slowly realizing how many people are following along, right? Because I'm starting to get messages from, you know, friends I haven't seen since, you know, maybe even, and I can even say sometimes like junior high, and I'll get a message from one of them out in Newfoundland that said, hey, following along and, you know, wish you the best. And, you know, even yesterday when Steph and I had an interview with local media, they said, we don't think that we know anybody that doesn't know what's going on with you right now, Brock. So, you know, that's, you know, it's flattering, but you know what? I'm fortunate. I have a profession that I get the chance to make an influence on a lot of people, and that's, and I feel really grateful for that. I love my job being a principal. I can't think of a better job, to be honest, in the world. It's tough because we're talking about COVID right now, but we're in the midst of COVID. But prior to COVID, I would get hugged like 250 times a day at school.
What?
And
by women?
And I probably honestly get, well, probably between 600 and 1,000 high fives, right? So, you know, that's pretty awesome. Like, other than being like just going kind of off the deep end and being a Walmart greeter, that's just kind of having a blast. I don't know if you could be, you know, you could have a more kind of bucket filling role. So I'm pretty lucky that way. So, but it's not all daisies. And you know, I try to be realistic with everybody when we go through stuff. It's been really tough on Steph and I and our family. Just, you know, the ups and downs. But also, I really miss my team and my school and the kids. They really do mean a lot to you. They fill your bucket every day, and my family and all those people that you don't get to see without exception because I have a compromised immune system. So.
Yeah, and we talked a little earlier that you're going to, you know, set a new world record with how many movies you're going to watch in Netflix and different things. So I don't know if maybe your social media could also be a place where we could tune in to get some reviews. Like, you know, do you recommend that we watch, you know, said documentaries or movies? And
watch the Gambit. I got Steph to watch it with me. What a great show. If you're old enough, for any of my students, it's definitely not appropriate. But so, yeah, But yeah, definitely. I'll take you up on that. You can throw those reviews out there. The next
it could be a bit of a side gig for you in the meantime, right? Like Brock's Picks or something. We could come up with maybe a cooler title, but you know.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brock's, you know what? Brock and I have been together since he was 19. He's old now. 40.
Yeah. But we can see that. Yeah.
Since I've met him, he's always been that kind of guy that just always looks with a glass half full. And going through this experience, I don't know if there's anyone who can look at having cancer as a glass half full. I'm a pessimist and a realist. And man, oh man, I feel like my glass is half empty most of the time right now. But every day he reminds me, and I learn so much from him, that he's here. He's here. He's breathing. He's doing it. He sleeps a lot. But
sometimes I bring my dishes back over to the kitchen.
You basically are a house cat.
You joke about me being a lazy house cat. So.
But his attitude of gratitude is not something that just started with having cancer. It's something that he's always had. And he has a mother that is just like him. They see the best in life and they're always positive. And thank goodness he gave that to our daughter. She's just like Brock, a big ray of sunshine. And every day is just a great day. For those of them who know all three of them, it's true. But it's amazing how that habit of gratitude and that ability is carried on through this difficult situation. And I don't know, he's had a few difficult situations in his life, but I think this is probably one of his biggest personal challenges, I would say.
Yeah.
And every day he just reminds me how beautiful life is and how thankful we are for what we're going through and having the time together and our beautiful children and things like that. Like it's just carried on, which I appreciate.
And really, Jordy, that's part of what Steph and I talked about when we decided to make kind of our Gratitude Wednesday an ongoing thing, and our Tuesday tips, which a lot of people tune into on social media for us. I just try to do a couple minute video. Sometimes I get long winded, to be honest, and they can stretch out to like 5 or 7 minutes. And Steph hates it because it takes forever to upload. She's and so, you know, I just figured, you know, that there's lots of people going through difficult times, and being cooped up in the house with everybody has made it difficult for lots of people. I'm an extremely social person. And so it's made it tough for me too, but like I said, there's no use worrying about that. That's just, it does you no good. In fact, it makes it worse. So I just always had that, attitude of, you know, just looking at the glass half full, or just staying positive and being as optimistic as possible. So, you know, just try to spread that and, try to share some tips that Steph and I have employed, or in our relationship, in our household, or things that we've learned from our parents, or things I've learned from my incredible staff, or just from our kids in general, that, you know, people need to perhaps just reflect on a little bit and just see how wonderful we have it here, wherever you are. If you're in Canada, I gotta be honest, you have zero to complain about. I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. You got zip to complain about. I'm not going to sugarcoat that and try to say, you know, anything else. We have it great. Like, I people like you have brain cancer. I'll just straight out say, like, yeah, it's crappy. I got brain cancer. But guess what? There's no better place to get brain cancer in the world. You know what? I didn't pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for a surgeon to have to do that. They took care of me every step of the way, at one of the very best places in the world to deal with cancer, which is in Calgary. And or it would have been here in Lethbridge if it wasn't for where it is in my brain. So that's the truth. Like, you got to look at that. Like, anybody else that's complaining, just realize that where you live right now, just imagine all of the, like I say this all the time, I think about children each day, and often I get new immigrant families that all move into our area that I would be welcoming into my school. And, you know, I'll get the background story of where they're coming from, right? And your heart goes out to them, but you do your very best and you talk to the teacher about, you know, where they're coming from, or maybe even our counseling group or the rest of our team, and just, hey, you know what, this child needs extra love because, you know, where they're coming from, they weren't getting it at all. So, you know what, that's just, you know, you gotta look at it realist, you know, being a realist, but also just being the optimist, just saying, hey, you know what, it doesn't get better if you're going to get sick here. Okay, guys, just realize that and be grateful and thankful for the incredible people they don't look after you, because they are there. It doesn't get better than that. So,
well, and I think what's been nice about the tips that you're sharing and your attitude on attitude and living in gratitude can be broken down to everybody. We don't all have to know someone or be or experience something as serious as brain cancer. These are everyday life things that we can do and shift and change to live in a more positive environment. And I think that's really amazing.
Yeah, like the little tips that we try to share each week are just really simple ones or family ones. And I got to be honest, there's lots of times where we say, you know, each day, Steph and I talk about the questions that we have with our children, that we talk about, you know, what was your favorite part of your day, or what are you looking forward to tomorrow? Those are just kind of mindset things that we talk about. And they lead to, I think, long-term habits that turn into just having that attitude of gratitude. And some people are tougher to get to those just routines, but we really hope for our children that that's something that we do, and that, you know, that I know both Steph and I have learned from our parents, because I, you know, we were raised differently. I was raised, I would say, in a much more casual household, but I also come from a household of eight children, and so my parents
fighting for dinner.
So yeah. My parents, you know, I think by the time they got to the fifth boy, which is me, yeah. I'm the youngest of the boys, that you know, just go out there and
good luck, friend. Yeah.
Yeah, just make sure you're home before we wake up, right? Kind of deal. But no, I shouldn't say that, honestly. My parents wouldn't go to sleep until I checked in, knocked on the door and said I'm home. So
at 8.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So
it's all in good fun, mom and dad. Yeah.
So, I think it's like, and when you say that everyone can practice gratitude, Brock's right. It's not easy for some, you know, like it's hard for me. I have to work on it daily. And I have an excellent role model that every day it's in my face, which helps. And so in conversations, I'm learning, I'm constantly learning, but it is work. I won't say gratitude is something that I have to put in every day as a part of my day.
Yeah.
So, you know, for people who are like, oh, how can you be grateful? It's not this. Look at what's going on in the world. Look, your husband has brain cancer. Yeah, my husband, my beautiful 40-year-old husband, who is the love of my life, has brain cancer. How can you express gratitude? Well, I express gratitude because Brock has taught me how to, and I practice it daily.
Yeah, and those little practices are just those tips that we try to throw out there for everybody.
And
some work for people, others don't work at all for people. And so, you know, whether they work for you or not, it's not going to stop me from getting the opportunity to share them. And what I
noticed is when Brock started doing his Gratitude Wednesday videos, people in the comments would be kind of like asking, like, how do you do this? How do you do this? And so then we came up with Tuesday tips, because we thought, it's not easy. It's expressing gratitude sometimes is difficult. So we thought it was kind of a neat idea for him to kind of say, how are you so grateful? What do you do?
And like I said, I come from the perfect job that, you know, you have to have a lot in your toolkit to be ready, because, you know, you have 800 personalities in your building each day that you have to.
And that's just the staff.
Yeah. So you're dealing with that, and you're often dealing with the families that go along with those 800 people that you're working along with. So that you really have to understand a lot of different ways to deal with the same situation, right? And some people just deal with what I might consider like inconsequential, just like the littlest thing, like in the world, and it'd be a big deal to them. But I have to respect that, and that's part of that too. And I think that's part of what Steph and I have learned through this too, is that everybody is dealing with grief in a different way, or it takes them longer, or one tip might work for you and another one doesn't, right? So we just throw them out there, and hey, maybe they work, maybe they don't. But I'm not getting paid to do that, so I'm just so okay. So
well, and I think it's nice having the, I don't want to say polar opposites when I speak of you two, but in this regard of that, it's nice to see that, because I think comparison can be the stealer of joy for us, right? When we look at things online, and if there's somebody who loves living in gratitude or expresses that, and they make it look so easy. And when you struggle with it or don't feel it, or it's not feeling genuine to you at the beginning, you feel like you're doing it wrong. And there's no wrong in learning how to do it. And just because your gratitude doesn't look the same or sound the same as somebody else's, it's still a step in the right direction. So I love your vulnerability and sharing both of you in that.
Regardless of it, like you said, it's like people throw it, no matter what you talk about on social media, it'll be people, though, is always somebody that wants to be keeping up with the Joneses. I need to show them more gratitude than that person. I need to do this better than this person. Like, it should be a personal journey for whoever it is. And you know what, if something works for you each day and makes you feel better, and it's legal, then you know what? What's wrong with trying it out and doing it? And if it works for you, maybe it does work for somebody else. So there's no harm in sharing.
Well, and I think if we have a world where we're competing to be more gracious and more kind and more of those, that sounds pretty freaking awesome to me. Like, yes, let's compete about who can be more gracious and kind. That's the kind of world we really need.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like I said, when you go on social media, it seems to be one or the other, like who can complain the most about what's happening with COVID today, or who can be more grateful today, right? It's one or the other. But yeah, like I said, much happier with reading about the gratitude from others. And that's pretty awesome to see. And like I said, for Steph and I, this journey really didn't start, 5 months ago about just gratitude. Well, it really did kind of get closer to home. But it was about 3 years ago when we started kind of this process with my staff and with the kids at our school, and talking about that, and really doing more reflection on journaling and things like that, and just kind of some of my tips that I would use for myself, and things that we would write down on little, I don't want to say sticky notes, but and then Steph and I looking at those kinds of things together and talking about them, or what things can we do to make our relationship stronger. And the sticky note one is one that I share all the time, and I take pictures, and it was one of the first ones that I'd share with my staff. I said that, you know, each morning I get up, I usually am out of the house before anybody else is up. And
I'm a well-taken woman, care of woman.
That's good. Yeah.
So Steph and I just have a stack of sticky notes in our bathroom, in our ensuite, and a Sharpie marker. And then we just write something we love about one another on that sticky note, and you stick it on each other's side of the sink, and we stick them up and have them there, and so you kind of the eclectic rainbow of things that you appreciate about that person, and so we just, that was one of the first things that we did, and it made a really big difference, and I could just see that. That was one of the tips that to give to staff, and then we brought that in to the school place, to one another or to the kids, and the kids' opportunities to stick things up and share appreciation for things or for their family or whatever it may be. So,
When I like that idea too, with a bit of a twist, and we launched a kindness revolution in our coffee club in the beginning of October, and November's theme is showing kindness towards yourself, because we have to be able to build ourselves up. So I would love people to take a sticky note every morning and write something you love about yourself up on that mirror also, and then remind yourself that piece about that you love about you every single day. And then after a few days, like, how awesome of a visual is that?
Yeah. It is. And Brock and I, like I said, we started it about 3 years ago. And if you look at our bathroom, we finally had to like take some down our stuff. I have some in a book. And
yeah,
even we haven't expressed our gratitude in sticky notes, obviously, in the last 5 months.
I'm not the best at writing.
You know, so you're not awake most of the day.
Too, yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
But for me, going through Brock not feeling well, I have that visual every day that I can look and hang on to.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is my husband. This is how much he loves me. Cause he couldn't express his love to me for a very long time. He didn't feel well enough.
I'm still, I honestly, Jordy, I'm still a little aflack, I guess you could say, or have difficulty with, I'm usually quite expressive and articulate, and I'm still, you know, I still struggle with that a little bit. I'm doing my best, and having opportunities like this give me an opportunity to talk more and to be expressive. But inflection in my voice, or even just I'm a very hands-on, affectionate person, but I can be monotone and I can be direct now. Not as it doesn't come across as kind.
He is handy.
Not handy.
Handy. Yeah.
Anyone who knows him knows that one of the best things is his beautiful smile and his big hugs.
Yeah.
Many qualities to Brock, but that's a big one that people say, that, you know, to see his smile. But I think, you know, he's gone through brain surgery. He's gonna have to recover and learn. He's learned how to use the left side of his body. He had left side neglect when he came out of a surgery. The left side of the tumor affected the left side of his mouth. So he has paralysis in the left side of his mouth. And then even he has to learn his facial features over again. What we're all learning. We didn't know that
Steph,
he had to go through this.
Steph will always go like this to me, because I'm always like...
And I try to hit him really hard. But again, like I said, I think I appreciate those sticky notes, because I go back every night when we've had a rough day. Because we have a lot of rough days. This hasn't all been roses. We haven't always had gratitude every day. We haven't, and again, I'm a natural pessimist, so it's been tough to go through. But at the end of the day, I sit and I read all the notes that he's written to me. So right now on our bathroom, there's got to be maybe 100 sticky notes on my side of the bathroom. And I'll sit and I read them if I'm having a bad day and I need that reassurance that I know that he loves me, because he can't express it very well right now. A little bit better now than it was, four and a half months. But it's amazing how even looking back of having a habit 3 years ago has been able to affect my life now. You know, so I really appreciate that we started that, and we do it. Our daughter actually will run around our house, and you'll find sticky notes everywhere.
That's the way she is now.
Maybe we need to get you a sponsorship from Post-it notes or something.
Post-it notes, like, if I look right here right now, there's
16 Post-it notes about I love you, mommy, there. I love you, daddy.
If I look on, like. Like, say I'm well kept. I'm so spoiled now. Like, they'll bring my food to me on the TV tray.
They'll bring
the,
like,
kids,
you
are
have
staff.
Multiple services.
They'll bring
multiple
food to the TV tray, and they're covered in sticky notes. And, you know, my little girl is, you know, she's working on her writing and all those things. But she definitely knows, like, I love you, daddy, and the hearts, and loves drawing, and those are always on there. And then I always get one from Steph, and then my sons sometimes.
Like,
yo.
What's up, Dad? Yeah.
That's what I've done, like, so just to bring that sticky note part up, you know, obviously Brock hasn't been able to, it's difficult to feed himself. Not now, he's a pro at it now, but when he, like through the 6 weeks of him having continuous seizures and waiting up to surgery, it was really stressful. And I wrote him every meal I gave him, I wrote him a sticky note of inspiration or how much I loved him or what I loved about him. And stuck it on his tray. And I have no idea if he was able to read it, if he saw it. I don't know. I just put it on there. And every time I put something else, I have a stack, probably this big of sticky notes that I wrote to him. And I asked him the other day, finally, after 5 months, and I said, do you read those? And he's like, every single day. Yeah. So
as long as I didn't like put my hand in my soup, ears really bad. Yeah. The learning the left side of my body again and getting that rolling. So
Like unbelievable challenges. Just
Well, like I said, that would have been the big problem, Jody. I would have had, if I couldn't do it myself, I would have had a nurse or my mom or staff there to help me. Right. Yeah. But I got to learn and I'd always laugh. I'd be like, really? I'd look over
at my hand. Hospital. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. Left hand was like right in his meal. He's like, oh. And yeah. Like, it's hard to describe, but it's almost like your body, your brain forgets that you have a left side. Yeah. And so he would get out of bed and I'm like, where's your hand? And he's like, oh, he's like, oh, hang on.
It's over here.
Left on. Oh, he got it. Yeah. So we were at Wasa, where our cabin is, and we got into the car. We did something, and he got into the car, and he looks at me. He's like, he starts laughing. I'm like, what's funny? And he's like, you're never gonna believe this. I'm like, what? He's like, might have sat on my hand.
He's fully
like,
just
like, man, yeah.
The Colin like just crunched it. And
so
what can you do?
Yeah.
Well, we laughed about it. We do a lot of.
Which I think is important. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of sadness. So
yeah,
we do a lot of laughing.
Yeah. Got to balance it out. So.
Well, and I would think there's probably a lot of, I don't know, pros and cons in going through this journey during COVID. I mean, one, it's hard because the scare is real and not being able to have those visitors to come and surround you and share your energy, Brock, but also we're not out having fun without you right now. So there's that.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. And I'm missing out, I guess. Yeah. And I feel terrible because you know, that the messages you send to your friends all the time or and I still really try to do as much as I can, by messaging my staff or sending something to friends. And what are you up to this weekend? It's just like it's kind of like poking the bear, you know. What are you going to do this weekend? Sit on your butt again. So,
yeah,
you know, whatever. I'm not missing out. But how easy is this to do? Like get a message from you. You don't even have to download anything. It's just like open it up and then say like write your name. Who's on?
Yeah. And
so I said, man, like. It doesn't get much easier, and there's so many apps you talked about, like Party Time and stuff that I have on my app. If I want to see my buddies, 5 or 6 of them, I'm not allowed to drink any alcohol anymore, so no more beers, but they're allowed to drink in my face and still socialize, right? And it's not like it's a big deal or anything like that. So yeah pretty
well. Blessed. People would like to, you know, I'm introducing you to a new group of people today. If they would like to follow along this journey or get some Wednesday gratitude or some Tuesday tips, where can they do that?
Honestly, just jump on the Facebook and you can search for me and just add me as a friend or whatever. And you know what? Unless it's somebody that is looking a little provocative, usually I accept. So
no, those are the ones you do accept.
Yeah, those go to a different account. Yeah.
Looking girls, yeah. You're all over that.
The Thoughtful Thursday team. Yeah.
And like I said, just been in steps, it kind of bugged me a little bit about that a little bit more, just thinking about, you know, is there a different platform that I should be using to kind of accumulate all of those and have those available? Because, you know, usually got to scroll back a little bit to see how many we've been doing and stuff like that. But like I said, just more than happy to, or if somebody just wants to use Messenger and send a message of, hey, do you got a tip for something like this? You know, I'll be 100% honest. If I have no clue, I'm just going to tell you that. I have no clue.
I'll think about it. That's a big fat lie. I've known Brock for a very long time, and he has never said, I have no clue. He makes up stuff.
Yeah.
Best to give you an
answer. When in doubt, make it up. Yeah, that's the number one rule of radio. When in doubt, make it up. Yeah. So you got this.
Take it, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll have to create a public page where people can just go and like it and follow along your messaging and videos that way at some point. Yeah.
Make them public. So
yeah, Jody, and you probably know more about social media than we do. So
I will give you tips and we'll exchange our tips for each other. It'll be perfect.
That person's name disappeared. I tag them and they disappeared and she gets mad.
And I've never been a social media is kind of like I peruse and take a look and I pull and I, you know, but I'm silently stalking.
Yeah.
Brock's been a little bit more on Facebook and more posting. And so when he let that video go 2 days before surgery, he looked at me, he's like, I apologize, you're going to have to deal with this. I was like, what do I got to do? Posting a video about what's been going on in our life.
Yeah.
He goes, just so you know, I let that go. And I was like, okay. And he goes, so you're going to have to deal with the backlash. And I was like, oh my goodness. So the amount of learning I have, like I'm the one who does all of Brock's posts. He's getting there. His left thumb is starting to get there.
Slowly
he's going
to
be able to do it.
Yeah. But, it's starting to work.
Yeah. You're going to be gaming before you know it too. Yeah.
And there is 100% honesty here for the first at least six weeks or 8 weeks. I was not responsible at all for social media. Beth actually took my phone away because she found out that I got on my cell phone and I started texting people and stuff like that. And I'll be honest, I was not coherent. I made just gibberish up.
2 days after his surgery, he got a really bad infection.
Yeah.
Was really, really sick and had the left side neglect. But he picks up his phone because I was giving it to him for audiobook just to kind of keep him occupied. I come there and I look and he's posted random things. And I mean, they did not make sense because he was on heavy narcotics at the time. Did not make any sense to his boss, the superintendent of school, that was like, oh my gosh, did you send this? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Thank goodness
you've got a really good card to play for that one, though. You're like, hashtag brain cancer. You're like, whatevs. Yeah.
Get away with anything, I guess.
Get away with it now, house cat, because it won't be like that always. Yeah.
And so now, friends, we'll ask, like, do you have your phone back? Are you allowed to? These messages, I'm like, yeah, Steph trusts me again. So, that's pretty cute.
Yeah, so we'll figure something out. I think I think you look back and you can never figure out why this happened, you know, like to a healthy 40-year-old. You'll go crazy if you try to figure out why. But when this happened, I thought, he's got a bigger purpose. You know, like Brock's a phenomenal man and anyone who's met him loves him. I kind of said to him, like, there's a reason. And you're not doing your job. You're not doing your life's purpose. You have more to give. And, you know, you have this beautiful school and staff that love him and adore him, especially the women. I find it's usually the women. But I said, you know, more people need to get to know you. More people need to hear what you have to say. And that's kind of why part of the reason we started Gratitude Wednesday is because, you know, to help him, I think it's therapeutic for Brock too, is to express his gratitude to others and mentor and coach like he's been doing most of his life. But, you know, to reach out and allow more people to hear someone else helping you, coach you, and encourage you to be more grateful.
Yeah, that's one of my absolute favorite things to do is to get to mentor and coach people in various stages of their life, regardless of what their occupation is. I'm really fortunate to get to do that with lots of people in lots of different realms. Like I said, Jody, you and I first met each other in entertainment, right? And hosting festivals and I have a real estate background. I'm the director of growth for a real estate company, and I'm a principal, and so I get the chance to mentor and coach a lot of people in a lot of different areas. So I love doing that. You know, have you thought of it from this perspective of just those simple conversations that like you get to have all the time, and it really is, it's bucket filling for me when somebody says, oh, it's, you know, I don't want to be a burden. I grew up in a household of 10. So yeah. Trust me, having a conversation one-on-one is a luxury. So,
yeah.
I know. I really.
That's why
do.
You always talk to me one at all day.
Yeah. I really do love it. It is something that I feel great about. So them when they're doing FaceTime with my parents or Steph's parents, and they can make themselves into like a sparkly, and then I got to be a kitty.
Yeah.
People all day.
They're calling. It's just yeah. You got to just own it now. You can get the headband with the cat ears when you go on yeah. your videos. Like, there's a whole shtick here.
Yeah.
Like punking him.
Yeah.
Like he was
yeah. Really- Steph can take pictures of you sleeping in different sunbeams around yeah. the house. Yeah. Like,
definitely.
There's a whole thing. I've got a whole entire marketing campaign ready to roll out with you guys. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Jody, thank you so much.
Really yeah.
Thank you guys for taking some time just to share with us today, to chat. You are utterly amazing Albertans.
Well, our absolute pleasure, and like I said, it's wonderful to see you. And thanks for taking like your time to, you know, to focus on the positive. Like I said, it's just another opportunity to fill people's buckets, right? And we just need more of that.
Thank you again for tuning in to the new series called Amazing Albertans on the Jody Seeley Show podcast. Once again, a big thank you to the creator of the theme song for this show right now called We Are Alberta, Mr. Dustin Farr. Thank you, my friend. A huge shout out as well to our producers from Limelight Audio and Media for making this show possible.
We are Alberta.